For those who don't know, Raspberry Pi is a small computer, Linux box, quite a powerful computer, $35. The history of it was, I'm on the faculty board of the computer laboratory, and we had 2008, we had a problem. We admit about 100 students a year. We used to have 500 applicants a year, but in 2008, it dropped down to 200 applicants, and we couldn't fill the course, not with good enough people. So we had a problem. We thought maybe this problem was due to the fact that people weren't programming at home anymore. If you have a mobile phone or a laptop or a tablet, you can't program it easily. It's a closed box. If you have a games machine, it's a closed box. And you have to get the manufacturer's permission to change the program in it. Whereas in the old days, if you remember things like the BBC Micro or the Atari machines, some of which I helped design, you turned it on and it went beep and produced a prompt, and you had to do something to make it work. And so kids, programming is like a skill like any other, like learning to play a musical instrument. You need practice. And the kids weren't getting practice in their bedrooms. It's not the hours in week in school that matters. It's the 10 hours a night in your bedroom that matters. So we thought if we made a cheap computer, we thought we'd make it the price of a textbook. We were misled as to the price of textbooks. We'd made it much easier if we made it the real price. So we took $35 as the price and made the best computer we could for that. We thought maybe we'd sell a few thousand of them. For example, the university gives it to applicants. When they come for interview, we ask what they've done with it. But it turns out that a cheap computer has all sorts of other uses. We've sold 4 million of them. And that was a bit of a surprise to us. For the techies, it's got all the things you'd expect on a modern computer. And needless to say, some of these have ended up in Africa. We've got several thousand in Africa, selling about 1,000 a month in Africa. But I know nothing about Africa, and that's why I'm here, to ask you for help. You guys know lots more about Africa than I do. Maybe you can help us formulate the strategy as to how we should approach Africa and avoid traps like cultural imperialism or giving people things they don't need or want. So what should we do? Most of our sales at the moment are in South Africa and Egypt, but it's reasonably widespread. The other thing about having 4 million users is you have a wonderful community out there. This map, for example, was put together by a 16-year-old high school student who invited people to register where their Pi was and put it on a map. And so about 1 in 10 register. So multiply those numbers by 10 for real numbers. Standard required slides of happy smiling faces or engaged students. Nigeria, Upper East Ghana, Tanzania, Kenya, etc. What's driving this is the rapid emergence of the middle class in Africa. This is African Development Bank numbers. And there are 167 million people, they reckon, with incomes greater than $4 a day. So we can divide the world into three markets. There's the emerging middle class who have disposable income. They typically live in brick houses. They have an income greater than $4 a day. They have a big TV, they have a car, they have electricity. Typically urban dwellers. And they want the same things as middle class everywhere. These things come with a lot of educational software. And the message of buy one of these and you'll help your kids is a very powerful one. And so they have the same aspirations as everybody else. And we can treat them much like the same as Western middle class people. So that's about 18% of the population. There's an intermediate class, which I typically peri-urban slum dwellers, let's say concrete block house dwellers. Income is around $2 a day. They have probably have electricity. They have some comms, typically 2G phones. But they may have better facilities in the community centers or schools. They probably have shared TVs rather than individual TVs. That's about 20%. Then there's the deep rural poor, mud hut dwellers, if you like. Income less than $2 a day, but they have village facilities. They don't have electricity, but you need solar power. But that's fine. This thing takes very little electricity. It's 3.5 watts. So it's less than a torch bulb. So it can be run very easily. So we have three different approaches. The middle class is the same as everywhere. And we go via the web and via retail sales, and that works reasonably well. And it spreads virally. People buy it because they see other people have bought it and enjoying it. And even that trickles down as well, because urban dwellers go and return to their village occasionally, taking presents for the grandkids and so on. Intermediate is typically via community groups, makerspaces, clubs, schools, and so on. And rural is much harder. We typically go via NGOs or other projects. One project which we're sponsoring, I'd like to talk about, is the Rachel Pye Project from World Possible, remote areas, community hotspots. What it does is it packages educational content with the Raspberry Pi and drops it in as a library, as a server, as a library to a village or to a community, that people can access it with smartphones or tablets or whatever else. Go back one. So it's 3.5 watts. It's a small box, it just drops in. And it has an awful lot of content on it. It has Wikipedia, has Khan Academy, has 3,000 e-books from Project Gutenberg, medical encyclopedias, medical publications, health guides, OLPC project, that's the one laptop per child project. That was done in the other Cambridge. We're this Cambridge, so we can do it better. teachers' resources from the UNESCO and much more. And it's online there if you want to see it. So the challenges are things like, firstly, to use this stuff, you have to be able to read and write. You have to be able to add up numbers. And that's a basic problem. You also have to, also we're only in English, although some people translate. So we need local heroes who will translate it for their particular community. The other problem is if you're the only screen in the house, there's competition for screen time. These things plug into a TV. But if you're the only TV in the house, people want to watch the cricket or specialty content. And that's a problem. Screen prices are still expensive. Even second-hand screens, recycled screens, by the time you've got them there, the screens are a problem. We're working on it, but it's slow work. In particular, getting screens that are sunlight viewable, because the school is under the tree. And you have to be able to see the screen in sunlight. There are some technological solutions, but none of them are very good yet. And finally, distribution logistics is a problem. Getting even a box that size to a school is hard, because the postal service doesn't work reliably. So how do you get things to the right people? So reliable transport can cost more than the device itself. That's a problem. Certain countries have import tariffs. Brazil, for example, has a 100% tariff if you import it externally. And communication costs are a problem. So we're mostly trying to do things that can run offline and only communicate when they have to, for example, for email. And you can do quite a lot with 2G if you want to. We also have, we're a charity. Raspberry Pi is a charitable foundation, educational foundation. We have a wholly owned trading company that sells Raspberry Pis for non-educational use. But basically, we have some manufacturing partners who actually make it. We rapidly realized when that we started that there are six founders in my garage couldn't satisfy a multi-million dollar market. So we signed up Radius, Bez and Farnell, who are two large electronic producers and distributors. And we launched on the February 29th, 2012, and took both their websites down. We were taking 700 orders a second at peak. We sold 100,000 on the first day. So with all the profits from that, the royalty we get, we run an education fund, which is funded about $1 million a year at the moment, primarily for computing and STEM subjects, but we're not proud. We offer 50% funding to organizations. We're looking for sustainability. We can't finance the whole of Africa. We can do some pump priming. We're looking for a multiplicative factor, so it's not just the immediate benefits, but it spreads out. And applications are on our website. So finally, we don't dictate what people do. This was from one of our users. And the great advantage of having 4 million people is we have a wonderful community doing all sorts of wonderful things.
In 2012, the United Nations General Assembly declared access to the internet a basic human right, which enables individuals to exercise their right to freedom of opinion and expression. The unfortunate reality is that in South Africa, we are far from reaching this goal. The Gini coefficient, measuring inequality, puts South Africa at 0.63, making it one of the most unequal nations in the world. While much effort has been made to bridge the gap over the last 20 years, access to quality education is still scarce.
I want to be a scientist because I want to explore.
I want to be a lawyer.
Fashion designer.
A dentist.
I
want to
be a psychologist.
I
want to
be an air hostess.
Over 4,000 schools do not have access to electricity, and 77% of schools do not have access to computers. With circumstances like this, it is difficult for people to empower themselves to become contributors to society as they lack the adequate skills and resources.
They don't have a laboratory.
Government to build a bigger school.
A big library.
When they came at the assignment to struggle to find the information. We have to find the newspapers, find out the information that you want is not there.
We are living in a world where the entry level of literacy is computer literacy. If one wants to be relevant in today's world, one needs to be technologically savvy. Giving pupils a chance to learn about how computers work and what you can do with them broadens their horizons and creates new opportunities for their future.
So do you guys have a computer lab in your school? Or
we don't have a computer lab?
We like a internet cafe in the
school for us to get easy access to the internet.
Due to the magnitude of the education challenges in South Africa, a low cost, energy efficient and sustainable solution is needed. This is how the solar-powered Raspberry Pi LAN model came to be.
Raspberry
sweet, juicy,
food.
There is a computer.
The lack of proper electricity means that an alternative energy source is needed. and thus the design uses solar power. A cost-efficient, low-power computer called a Raspberry Pi will be used in order to reduce costs and help more learners. This credit card-sized computer is approximately $40, robust, easy to maintain, and only consumes about 3.5 watts of power. This makes it the perfect choice to use in conjunction with solar power. More important than the hardware, however, is the content on the computers. The computers will contain various software programs that are specifically designed to advance the learner's education through multimedia, tutorials, and tests. Resources such as Khan Academy, Numeric, and Rachel will be installed. Raspberry Pis have been used in other countries around the world, and it is just taking off in South Africa. We hope to put 21 Raspberry Pi computers loaded with a range of educational software into the selected school by the end of August 2014. This will help more than 500 learners gain access to computers. The intended computer lab will be set up in Cosmos City should the necessary funds be raised. Cosmos City is a developing area that has shown much improvement due to the dedicated and passionate community. New schools have been established with motivated teachers. However, the schools still remain under-resourced. The students are eager to learn and aspire to do great things with their lives. Access to these resources will help them to learn, grow, and eventually become change makers in society. Your help is needed to assist them to gain access to a world of resources and make their dreams become a reality. Tonight is the night.